Hello, everybody! Welcome back to the show. It's me, the Paulie. It's him, the Jesse. We are here far too sexy and far too gorgeous, just for you.
Yeah, for those of you who are watching that on YouTube would have seen that I was rubbing my nose while he was saying that. So
while I was saying you were sexy and gorgeous, you looked like a five-year-old trying to get rid of something.
I didn't look that bad. I just had an itch on the top of my nose.
Six-year-old trying to get rid of something.
Thanks.
it was amazing. You know how I kind of do these things and my eyes are looking the other way? I look back at you and you're going, "Rrr."
I just had an itch on the top of my nose. That's all it was.
I believe it. Now I'm going to be wary of scratching my nose because you're just ripping.
I've got a little French curly mustache as well.
Are you going to grow out the mustache?
I'm all kinds of sexy today.
Get rid of the beard. Grow out the mustache. Go proper French cheesy.
Yeah,
that was nicely.
Everything so far has been a big fail, so that is a good start to this show.
Yeah, it is. This show that is all about failure. It's like we made the link purposely, Jesse.
I did all of that on purpose. Yeah. It's just all a bit, you know.
Did I finish the welcome?
God knows.
Okay, right. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
We're back.
It's me and Jesse. It's us, the professional podcasters.
For those of you who don't know, we are both ridiculously tired. I feel that we've now said that on 381 episodes, Jesse.
For those of you who don't know, Paul can't count.
True, it's true. Paul has a care ability and it stops at around about 99. Okay, past that. Don't know.
I mean, that's more numbers than a geologist.
Yeah.
So anybody who listened to Fran's show, weirdly considering what she does for a living nowadays, she did geology at university and was a geologist after university for a number of years.
Yeah, it's also more numbers than we have listeners, so you know.
Yeah, well, her number system at university for geology was one too many lots. So,
in that case, we have many listeners.
We have many listeners.
That's it.
Welcome to Newton's Nuggets. We're a professional business podcast with many listeners.
Many listeners all around a globe. There we go.
Literally sat around a globe.
Yeah. Once they've listened to two episodes, they get a little globe and they just sit around it. It's all good.
Yeah, fine.
I've actually forgotten what we're meant to be doing. So
we are going to go straight into today's show.
Yeah, right. This one is awesome. We went into places I did not expect to go to, but this show is all about Henry Guyburn and his thoughts on the word failure. It's brilliant. Go and have a listen.
Newton's Nuggets.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Right, this is a show I've been really looking forward to. I haven't known this guy for very long, but when we did meet, we had a great chat, and he fried my brain, to be honest with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Henry. Henry, come on in and say hello to everyone, mate.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, there you go.
Thanks for having me here.
Henry, thank you very much for taking time out to do this. Really appreciate it, mate. So I know that you do lots of different things, okay? So I'm going to ask you that scary question that I ask everyone right at the start, and we're going to base the whole show on your answer to it. So, perfect. Henry, who are you, what do you do, and why should people listen to us two chatting for 30 minutes?
Perfect. Well, I'd like to have a really chiseled 60-second-like B&I type elevator pitch, but I do loads of stuff. So firstly, I'm a tree surgeon by trade. I run a tree surgery business, and I also now run a mastermind mentoring group for tree surgery business owners.
Nice.
Yeah. I then have a property business, which is a service accommodation business in Southampton. So where we have properties that we put on Airbnb and Booking.com, basically short-term lets. Run a property investing business, a property networking night, but my overall love and passion is my Fail Forward podcast. And my vision with that is to help and inspire people to overcome the fear of failure so they can live their goals and dreams. Because I believe that failure is such a negative word in this country specifically. And that actually the fear of failure actually paralyzes a lot of people to even stop trying something new. So yeah, from my own experiences of losing it all and going through failure, I've now created, and my vision is to try and help as many people in the UK and the world to overcome that fear of failure.
Mate, you know what? You've hit on a few of my bugbears. Number one, tree surgery. I can't touch anything on that. I know nothing about that. Okay. Property, I love, because as you know, I've been asked to speak at a few property functions, and I hate the thought of some of these investors getting scammed out of their money, and that's normally where I get involved on that one. Networking within people that understand what they're doing and they can help each other. But your Fail Forward podcast, mate, I love that. I love that idea, because I too see a lot of people that have just amazing inside of them. And because of that fear of failure, they never get started on the journey to show everyone how amazing they are. And it bothers me, mate.
100%. They did a study, and they think they went and like interviewed so many OAPs, and the majority of OAPs, like 90%, said they regret never trying something.
Mate, right. I'm hoping that I'm lucky enough to be one of those people that gets old and doddery and is sat on some rocking chair with my other half when I'm like 98 or something. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not many people get to that age, and I just, fingers crossed, I hope I get there. Right. But what I don't want to do is be sat there going, I wish we'd just, because I think that's such a shame. You know, so when I see opportunities, I do grab them a lot quicker than most people, because I honestly believe, can I really mess this up? And it's put me into some weird situations.
And what's the worst that could happen, right? Like, you try something out, it doesn't work out.
Yes.
Like, what is the worst that can happen?
And that's an attitude. When we launched the book, doing the crowdfunder, what was the worst that could happen? It wouldn't raise any money and I'd have a bit of egg on my face. I can live with that. What's actually happened is it did quite well and sold all over the place, and people booked me as a speaker because of it.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, because I was in a bad place when we started writing that book. I could have chosen to stay quiet and just let the whole pandemic thing go over me and wipe me out. Instead, Jesse kicked me up the backside, got me moving again. My wife kicked me up the backside. We went for this, and now... Well, just before we started recording, I said to you, I'm flying off to Switzerland next week, doing a talk. What the hell? It's just nuts. Right. What bits do you want to talk about? What bit do you want to talk about the most?
The failure bit, just around failure, because I think that's going to be, for your audience, I think that's going to be the most, you know, they can get their teeth into, and hopefully we can give some insight, and hopefully between us, we can inspire some people to just go out and do some shit.
Love that. Right. I agree with that. We've had a property guy on here a little while ago. Raj, go watch that show if you want to talk property. If you want to talk with Henry about property, we are going to make sure that his contact details are in the notes for the show. Okay. So if you want to talk about how to start Airbnb and property and things like that, if you're a tree surgeon who needs some help, we will make sure you can get hold of Henry. Is that fair?
Perfect.
Nice. Let's talk about the Failing Forward podcast. Mate, you've had, before we started recording, we talked about the fact that you've had Peter Bryant on your show.
Yeah.
Who I absolutely love. And he understands crypto in such a way, it's unbelievable. We both may have admitted to each other that it kind of blows our mind how he works it all out. I don't get it. I don't get it. But the Failing Forward philosophy. I'm going to be careful on this because I know that a lot of people have trouble with my mentality and my views on this, right? I don't see anything as a failure anymore.
No.
And I don't see why I should. So how do you deal with it? Okay, if you're somebody who's not like me, who does panic about these things, what do you do? What steps do you put in to stop caring?
So I think when you look at you flip flavor on the head, the one of the fundamental issues in, especially in the UK, is if you were to get a copy of the English dictionary now and look up failure, like how negative that word is. And I think it all starts really from the school ground of you have to pass exams, and you're only going to be good enough if you pass your exams. So we're told from a really, really young age that the only way to be successful is that we have to pass all these exams. And if we aren't, then we're a failure, essentially. And then you get, you know, going back really far before my time, the dunce's hat, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's this kind of deep ingrained thing into culture that failure is really, really bad. When actually, if you look at the aviation industry, like they are, it's such a safe form of travel because they've always been so open with recording every single instance ever happened on an aeroplane, and they've improved and they've improved and they've improved and they've improved because they've got this open book and they don't see it as failure, see it as learning experience. So I think from a young age, we've got this failure issue of that everything's a failure. And if we fail, it's negative. We're going to get laughed at in a school playground. And now the school playground turns into the pub or whatever other social environment you're in that you're trying to get your peers around you to get acceptance. And we're always worried about what other people are thinking. So I genuinely think that if someone's worried about failing, you've got to look at what's the worst that could happen. And for example, if we were to put this in layman's terms of, if you went to go for a job that was higher than what your skill level is and you were worried about not getting it, what's the worst that can happen? That you're probably going to lose a day's money or you're going to have taken one of your holiday days to go for that interview. Yes, you might have a bit of a feeling of an egg on your face, but if you go to that interview and you don't get it, the main thing is to not blame the fact that you didn't get a good schooling or you haven't got the right skills. It's really easy. And this is the biggest thing that I learned from going through failure myself, is accountability and holding yourself accountable. That can be really, really difficult for people, but it's so easy when stuff goes wrong to blame everything else. So I believe that looking within and not looking at external factors, if you were late to go for work or you're late for the interview, well, is that the traffic's fault or were you not organized? If you didn't say the right things, have you put the, you know, what can you take from that experience? Because failure is experience. So if you take failure away and say, I've experienced this job interview that I didn't get, what experience and what can I do differently next time to ensure that I get there on time and that I have learned about the company and I've actually done some research on the role and now actually I've got the skill sets because now I've actually gone out and done a course and learned more about senior management and things like that. So I think, when you turn it on its head and you go, actually, this isn't failure, what's the worst that could happen? And you look back at what the worst thing is going to happen, then actually, if you learn from it, it's not a failure. It's just experience.
Do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head with a couple of things there. You suddenly shot me back to being at school. And I can remember this kid, I won't say his name just in case he listens to the show, but he wasn't the brightest for academic studies at all, okay? And I can remember even teachers ripping into him and saying he'd get nowhere. What the hell would that do to a teenage kid in front of all of his peers? Okay, that's the number one. That's just wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number two, I can remember me thinking I had to hit certain levels on exams, otherwise I wouldn't be able to move on to the next form of study I wanted to go to. Now, the weird thing is, the exams and the study that I was encouraged to go towards now has absolutely nothing to do with what I do for a living.
Mm.
I mean, I should be an accountant somewhere high up in a firm of accountants. That's where everyone thought I was going. Mate, my lifestyle is furthest away from that I could think of. You know,
a lot better for it too, probably.
Yeah, mate, can you imagine me being an accountant? I'd be nicking all the money. It'd just be wrong. Mm. So that bothers me. And then what you said about why not keep trying? Why not go for the job that's a bit above your station if you want it? Actually, all you're going to do is learn. You're going to get more experiences. You're going to get closer to it every time you try. A good friend of mine, he used to purposely take interviews for jobs when he wasn't hunting for jobs.
Mm.
And he'd just call it practice runs. And yeah, he'd perfect. Do like 4 or 5 interviews every year, even if he didn't want the job. Because every so often he'd do these, he wouldn't care about getting the job. He's just trying to find out what his value in the market is at that time. And every so often he'd get a company that wanted him so bad that when he goes, I'm not that interested, I'm not that bothered about it, they would throw him offers that were ridiculous. And eventually he'd go, yeah, all right then. Yeah, I'll take that.
It's yeah. Just like,
yeah, he was the youngest one out of all of my buddies that got a company car because he just didn't care.
Love it. Love it. Going back to the school thing, and I won't rant on too much about school.
Rant away, because I have an issue with school education.
Yeah, the two biggest problems come is when I was at school, I was very ADHD. My parents moved me around a lot. They just bought and sold houses. So I was always being moved. So I was had a difficult temperament, getting in trouble, getting suspended, all those kind of things. So I failed all my GCSEs. But I remember them saying, if you fail all your GCSEs, then you're going to come to nothing. You're going to be a loser. You're going to fail. You know, so much pressure. But actually what I was doing is when I failed, it gave me a bit of a fixed mindset. And there's a difference between growth and fixed mindset. But then I failed. I was then bankrupt by 19. I then lost my business at 31 and had to sell our family home. And I failed so many times to the point that now I'm nearly 40 years old. I've created success, but I've kept failing. But what I did is the issue came is that when I failed all my GCSEs at school, I put myself into this fixed mindset state of that I don't need to grow, I don't need to learn, I'm just going to work really, really hard. My dad told me to work hard, be committed, be driven, be determined. But if I had known that if I could fail faster when I was younger and I could have failed quicker when I went out into the world of work, then I would have got to where I would have got to, and I wouldn't now be 40 creating lots of success. I might have done that at a lot younger age. But the really tricky thing is, and this is where it's really subjective, on the flip side, my sister was very academic. She went through school and she just found school simple, passed everything, straight A student, straight A GCSE, straight A levels, went to university, was manically depressed for 3 years. Fine now, family, kids, everything, so all good. But, and this is the trouble, I've got a 7-year-old daughter and she's very academic. And what I see the challenge is that if you find school simple, like if you're academic, you're never getting tested, and that's not real life. You suddenly get out into the world and you lose a boyfriend, or they finish with you, you lose your job, you can't get a job, you know, something tragic happens, your best mate stitches you up, whatever it is. That's not, real life of is very different to school. And when you can clear through school, and there was something recent in the paper, and I don't really listen to the news, but it popped on the radio, and there was someone complaining that their kids have been given these SATs and they are too difficult. And I'm like, no, give them difficult stuff. Like if they fail, it's a talking point. Like genuinely, we went in on a school parents evening and the teacher's kind of edging around saying how amazing our daughter is, which is what every parent wants to hear. But she's sort of saying, oh, I want to give her some extra tests. And we're like, look, open table. If our daughter comes home crying because she's failed, we're not going to come into school and tear you apart, because that gives us as parents a really good opportunity to go, okay, Esme, why did you fail? What happened? Oh, I didn't understand this. Okay, so how can you learn that better? You know, there's this whole thing where everyone's edging around and don't want to put any pressure on these people.
We want to give everyone the winner's cup.
Take away the winning stuff. And life, as soon as you leave school, it is competitive. Whether you like it or not, that's life. And if we keep trying to like stop people from failing at a young age, it's not to the point I'm saying put pressure on these kids so they're breaking and they're anxious. But if we're not letting them fail forward from a young age, then they're never going to learn the ups and downs. And I believe a lot of it stems back from that kind of school playground it's getting better. And I know some teachers and they do are trying to talk about resilience and embracing failure and all those kind of things. But I think we've got to take the failure part out of it and just call it experience and learning.
But you're right. It's that resilience thing. Okay. Because we've had people on here talking about resilience before, and I completely get it, because the truth is, if you've not been punched in the jaw and knocked to the floor at some point and had to pick yourself back up, then all of a sudden you go through this whole academic thing where everyone goes, praise, 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 you're amazing, praise. First time you walk out and get punched in the jaw, you stay there for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it bothers me that some people don't get back up. Now, it sounds like I had a different upbringing to you, because I had school telling me that I could hit all the top marks. And they kept pointing out, you know, the bad side of if you get a C in this or a B in this, you won't get to Oxford and you won't get to here, which I didn't care about, right? Okay. But then on the flip side, I had self-employed parents, and my dad, who was the one who built the business and had all the money come into the house, he got kicked out of school before he got any exams done. So I had the education authority going, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. I had parents going, not being funny. do it if you want to, Paul. But if you don't do that, we got you back and you'll figure out something. So it was weird because I had these two colossal things kind of fighting against each other. One saying, got to be academic. The other one going, I don't think that's you, Paul. But, you know, do well at school. Don't walk out like your dad did. But that's not going to make you money in the future, mate. Yeah. And then, right, you've also, you skirted through so many things in that 3 minutes that I let you speak. Mate, you said you went bankrupt at 19.
I did.
And there's still a taboo about that in this country now.
Yeah.
Sorry to everyone that's listening elsewhere. In the UK, if you go bankrupt, it's basically a court order saying you've got no money and you can't afford to pay any of your bills. Is that right, Henry?
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a way to write it all off, and you have to be a very good boy or a very good girl for about a year before you're allowed any credit of any type.
Well, it's probably 7 years, actually, before you can get credit again, but you get let out of the bankruptcy after a year if they think that, you know, you haven't been done anything dodgy.
Yeah.
Essentially.
The better you can behave in that first year.
Yeah.
Proves the way they treat you very soon after that first year.
Yeah, and actually mine got extended by a year because they thought I'd done it on purpose, which I hadn't. I was just a stupid teenager that didn't have a clue what I was doing. And they took that I was that intelligent. They actually thought I was more intelligent than I was, that I went and got all in all the debt and then went and bankrupt on purpose.
Oh, they thought it was pre-planned.
Yeah, they thought it was all pre-planned. And I was in this office with this very efficient guy, official guy saying, you know, we believe that you've got and done this on purpose. And I was like, honestly, I'm 19 years old. I haven't got a clue. What basically happened is I left school and went and worked for a customer service company and then applied. Actually, what we were talking about earlier is very fitting because I applied for a job that I didn't think I could get at Barclays Bank and suddenly I got it. And I got this job at Barclays Bank. I was like, great. I was a cashier and I was working as a cashier. And this personal banker used to say to me all the time, oh, you doing a credit card yet, Henry? And I was like, I'm 17. I'm not allowed one. Literally on my 18th birthday, because they all see that they all get paid for what you get. She went, oh, do you want a credit card? And I went, yeah, cool. I have a credit card. What does it do? And I will give you credit. I thought it would have like a £200 limit on it. She said, I'll put on the form that you're a Barclays staff member. So then a week later, I had this Barclay card gold come through with a £6,000 limit on it. I was on £10,000 a year, right? But because they'd seen staff member, then anyway, the stupid thing is I was young, I was going out drinking, I was out with mates, I was spending stuff on my car, I was souped up car, going to Motor World and spending. And then then they gave me a loan and then another credit card company offered me, matched that one. And before I knew it, I was 19 years old with 30 grand worth of debt on 10, well, probably on about 12 grand a year by that point. And I just, it was the most stupid thing in the whole world. And even though my parents had brought me up to really work hard for my money and everything, but I was just 18, young, dumb, and just spending money. And we phoned the National Debt Line and they said, look, you've got no assets. You've got nothing to show for your money. Because it was all just like wasted on diesel jeans.
On drink and nightclubs.
Nightclubs. Just all the stupid things you do as a teenager. And they just said, look, you can go bankrupt. And then I went through the process. They investigated me, said that you've done this on purpose. You knew you were going to do this. And I was like, I haven't got a clue what I've done. But then I couldn't get credit for 7 years, which was a good thing because then I learned more about money and I then had to go and start a business and work out a way at 24 when I still had all these credit issues to start a business. But we sort of started on a shoestring with not much and managed to then grow a business over 10 years to a seven-figure, 47-staff business. And then it all happened again, not because of the overspending, but because I made some really bad decisions and didn't learn about we were just talking about traction a minute ago before we started with Jesse. I didn't know any of that stuff at that point. I just grew this business. My dad had told me to work really hard.
Yeah.
Be committed, be determined, but forgot to tell me that you need to do some self-development along the way. So I had this massive monster business and it all started going wrong. So I didn't know my numbers. I didn't know enough about managing people. And at the age of, how old am I now? I'm 39. It was 4 years ago. So I was 35. We had £500,000 worth of debet, £200,000 that was personal guarantees, and we had to sell our family home when I had a newborn baby and a 3-year-old, and we had to start again 4 years ago. But this is where the failure bit comes in, because I then was given 9 months before from one of the managers that worked in my business, a book called Black Box Thinking by Matthew Syed. It is one of the best books I've ever read. The reason why it was one of the best books is because this tragic thing was happening. I was relapsing on a drug addiction. I was lost our family home. I was almost having my wife divorce me. Luckily, we're still together now. Touch wood. She's a keeper. She's very, very patient. But ultimately, I read this book about how failure is the key to success. And it was like this penny drop. I went, this tragically bad thing that's happening to me right now doesn't have to be a negative. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we've still got a long way to go still, but I can use this as a learning point. And since then, now that's how I've created multiple businesses, multiple streams of income, put the traction model and basically what I call the five pillars of a business: sales, marketing, numbers, systems, culture, and mindset into a business. And that's helped create success with putting the hard work, drive, and determination, the willing to fail and fail forward, and then learn from it. Like, there was only two ways I could go. I could either go to the gutter or I could pick myself up and learn from it, basically.
But this is it, mate. It's a choice point, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned earlier about writing that book when I was in the middle of my own despair, thinking everything had gone. And actually, that book turned things around for me so much, it's unbelievable. But on the flip side, I could have easily said, I'm not doing it because I don't think this will work anymore. And then, right, so 19, you go bankrupt because stupid 19-year-old. Fair enough. But, you know, in 30s, having a business that everyone else would look at and go, he's a success. Because you don't have that many staff members, you don't have that amount of work going on without everyone going, he's made it, this is it.
I thought I'd made it.
Yeah, I bet you did. And then that crashing, mate, this is horrible, but I would love to understand the mindset of somebody who went through that and turned it around again, okay? Because you even just dropped in that there was drug abuse as well.
Yeah, I had. So part of that 19-year-old was me going out and clubbing and raving and taking drugs as fun, recreational. That never really left me for about 10 years. And my wife helped me battle a drug addiction. And I was on and off, on and off, on and off. I quit everything about a year before my daughter Esme was born, 7-8 years ago. But then when I lost it all, I was sober for about 6 months between the before losing it and after it, because I wanted to be super focused. And then we kept arguing, and basically I ended up on mate's sofas. And before I knew it, I was drinking, and then drinking led to me relapsing, and actually relapsed for 3 months. And I was just a broken human being. I was a wounded bear. I was malfunctioning. I was so overwhelmed with stress and anxiety. And, you know, that I had friends turning on me and people, you know, talking down the pub and saying I'm a failure. Like, one minute they're saying, I'd wish I was a penny behind you. And then next minute they're, you know, I'm hearing other mates saying, oh yeah, everyone's sort of slating you down a pub because I've failed. And it was that almost kid playground kind of mentality. This guy's failed. And that's why I sort of talk about that whole thing of back to school, because it still carries on through everyone's adult's life, that this guy had suddenly had it all and he'd lost it, and now look at him, he's let people down, he's letting himself down, everything's, you know. And I think part of it probably was my ego, because I was so bruised. I was like a wounded bear, like wanting to coming out of the woods and trying to find its honey, you know. That was part of it. Plus, I'd always wanted my dad to be proud of me. We'd always had a difficult relationship, so I was driven by that, wanting him to be proud of me. And I suppose that I had my family, Esme and Ned and my wife. And my wife was very patient. We were on the brink. And it was that book that I read that went, do you know what? Like, I can learn from this. I can really, really learn from it. And when I started realizing that if I got into the world of self-development, if I started to unlock my brain, because essentially what happened is imagine if you went to Cheltenham Races next week, and you put £1,000 down, what do you think the worst thing that could happen is? You win or you lose?
Yeah. If you lose it all, it's £1,000.
Yeah, but what do you think the worst thing is? Win or lose?
Oh, the worst thing, and naturally I'm going to say lose.
No, win. Because then it gives you a false sense of confidence. So you think that you're good at betting. And then you go again, and then you go again, and you go again. And all that would happen with you in business is that I had been good at it for quite a few years, or I got lucky at it because I'd worked hard, I'd been driven and committed, and I'd built this business and we'd won some contracts, and that had given me a false sense of security. I remember before it went under me going, do you know what, this business stuff, it's really easy. Like, I've made it, I've got this house, I've got this boat, I've got this everything. And actually it gave me this false sense of confidence. I wouldn't listen to my wife, I wouldn't listen to anyone else. And actually what losing it all did is ground me back down to zero. It's given me more empathy for other people. It's made me understand myself, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, the father I want to be, not the father I don't want to be.
Yeah.
And then I realized that actually this business stuff is really difficult if you don't develop yourself, develop your mind, you know, level up your own mentality. Yes, you've still got to put the actions in, but working on your mindset, your mental and emotional well-being, you know, how you turn up as a leader, going down this self-development rabbit hole, getting mentors and being on masterminds and reading books, which is great, but you need to put in the action with it. So essentially the attitude was at that point is, yes, I've lost it all, I'm down to square one, but really I've still got my health just about, even coming out of a drug addiction. I've still got my family. I can rebuild this. I'm 35 years old. Like, I think you could rebuild a life at any age, really. Like, I never think it's too late. I think it's, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because we see everyone else on social media doing stuff at different ages and all these overnight successes, which aren't really overnight successes. And I think it's just a part of looking at it and going, okay, what did I learn? And I wrote a what went wrong document. And this is where I go back to the accountability we talked about at the beginning. I believe that you have to hold yourself accountable when things go wrong, and it's really tough. And I think that's why I relapsed on drugs, because I was staring down the barrel at my own ego being battered to pieces of, this was down to me. This was down to me. Because if I had blamed every single other person, like the economy, or it was before COVID, but if my business went under COVID, I blamed COVID, or I blamed XYZ, I blamed a staff member, or I blamed a client, then I would have done it again. And what's Einstein's definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You know, it's one of those things. So I think the accountability part, and if people can learn, and this is really important, if people can learn to fail faster and smaller and understand when they're like mini failures, they don't really call them failures, when just something doesn't go wrong and you look, okay, what could I have done differently? You're going to create success a lot quicker in your life.
Mate, that's beautiful. That is awesome. And it's so true. Okay. I love what you're saying. I'm going to put links up to your podcast, if that's all right with you, because I think that we have a lot of listeners who have a similar mindset to your listeners. And I think our two communities coming together and listening to both shows and getting ideas from both lots of people can only be a positive thing for everyone.
Love that. Thank you.
Right, I'm going to ask you that last question that I warned you about.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, Henry, I think me and you could chat for hours.
We could.
I have a funny feeling we might have to make a new podcast at some point just called Us Three Chat. Yeah. Imagine me, you and Jesse just sat in a room and recording it and just trying to help as many people as possible. That'd be awesome. Right. What is your one nugget, the one thing that you want everyone that listens to this or watches this, you want all of them to walk away with? What's it from you?
To ask yourself the question, when I am old and grey, are you going to regret that you never tried, or are you going to regret trying? Because,
nice.
Yeah, I think that you've got to just go and try and do things and work it out. And as I say, fail faster and learn from it and take failure out and just call it learning experience, because I don't want anybody on this planet to get to that stage and go, do you know what? I really regret not trying that.
Mate, I'm so with you on that, Henry. I'm massively with you. I don't know where I'm going to be in the next 10, 15 years. I don't know if this podcast will still be running. I don't know if mental theft will still be going. But what I do know is I'm going to be having fun somewhere. And to me, that's success.
100%.
Right, ladies and gents, we're now going to go back to me and Jesse talking about Henry behind his back. He's not going to hear anything we say until the show goes out. So hopefully Jesse liked him as well. We'll see you in a bit. Henry, do you want to go and say goodbye to everyone?
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone, for listening. I hope it's been some value. Yeah, thank you. And if you want to anyone wants to drop me a message and give me their thoughts on failure, happy to hear from you.
And this is the thing, guys. I know what Henry's like, and I know both of us, and Jesse as well. We're here to help if you need it. Please do contact Henry if there's something you think he can help with. Right, I'm heading over to speak with Jesse about you. See you in a bit, mate.
Thanks, all.
Newton's Nuggets.
There we go. Right, that was Henry. Okay, we've got something to talk about now. So Jesse.
Yes.
That show felt like a bit of a kick in the crown jewels. How about you?
Yeah, it's... It was hard hitting because nobody puts you know me, I'm known as Mr. Blunt. Not James.
I mean, no, not you, Jesse. Ladies and gents, this is the reason we edit the show. Okay? Yeah, you only see the nice fluffy side of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I have been known to say a few blunt things in my time and just throw it as it is, as I see it. And I feel like I think Henry's kind of done that with something that you hear a lot of big business speaker types say a lot more fluffy away. So, you know, you hear about, oh, so-and-so started a business young and he failed, but that's how he learned to succeed and all of this sort of thing. And, you know,
and things like
I went bankrupt and then at a young age, I started this business and failed, but
Jesse,
I learned.
I might get this one wrong, okay? I might get it a little bit wrong, but it's sayings like, why eat with the worms when you can soar with the eagles? And I'm just like, I can't soar with the eagles because I haven't got wings.
Don't even know what any of that means.
It's something about you can... do more, but you can't because you can't.
Something to do with the start of the Godzilla film, worms. I don't know. Anyway,
oh, Godzilla, I might go watch that.
Anyway,
yep. Back to some sort of track. Go.
I really, really like Henry's way of looking at that. You know, looking at the fact that you take that thing that we all see as very negative and actually, you know, go and do something. But I mean, he talked very much in extremes, but at the end of the day, not everything that you do in a business works.
No.
And just, it's always the people who just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, even though it didn't work, without trying anything different, that have the big issues long term, never really succeed with anything.
See, this is it, and I've dealt with so many people in the last couple of years especially who say things like, oh, if that I know that doesn't work because my sister-in-law tried it, and she's the type of person that if anyone it she would have made it work. And it's like, you know, that's BS, right? You do know you're just telling yourself a story, right?
Yeah, different people, different times, different things.
Yep.
It at the end of the day, the reason why people are all still discussing everything and talking about different methods and blah, 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 is because different people, different time, different day, different mindset, all the rest of it.
Here's one for you. Nice, simple one, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a qualified accountant. Jesse, do you want me to do your accounts?
No, thank you.
There we go, right? I should not run an accountancy firm in any way.
I'm pretty sure the HMRC asked me not to get you to do my accounts as well.
I'm pretty sure the HMRC put out a warning. But you see what I mean? That doesn't mean accountancy doesn't work as a business.
No, exactly, yeah.
Okay, it's a great business. I've got really good friends that run great accountancy firms. Should I run one? No.
No.
No. Nope. I'll be sat there playing with a Newton's cradle. No.
It's
a Newton's cradle.
Any cradle that you own is a Newton's cradle, isn't it?
That's a good point. I now want to buy random cradles just for the photo ops. Okay, we've just distracted ourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, amazing. This week's sponsor is some sort of ADHD medication.
Because apparently us two plus tired means off topic. Right, what are we talking about? Henry. So, he has some really good points in there, mate. And some of the things he went through. And there were bits I didn't know he was going to bring up. And the fact that he built a business to a level that everyone would go, he's a successful businessman. Then it crashed to the ground. Then he crashed to the ground. Then he built up again and crashed again. And even the fact that he admitted the drugs thing as well. It's, do you know what? It's that Batman statement. It's not how many times you fall over, it's how many times you get back up.
Yeah.
And horribly, that's so true. Okay, do you know what? Looking back, I probably can't even count the times that I fell over, because now they're just part of a story.
And I think if you're going to fall over like that, the first time you're not going to see it happening. And that's the hardest. But as you go along, you might recognize that things are not going well because you've seen it before, and be able to stop it in advance. Or,
yep.
You know, if you do fail on something or something's not going right, you'll see it, spot it earlier. It's all part of that learning process. At the end of the day, there's the best time to learn everything and get everything wrong is in the past. So do it now and then it'll be in the past. Just get on with it. Because the longer you hold off from trying to do something to try and get it perfect,
yeah,
then it's not really, you know, you're just waiting to make the mistakes, because you're never going to be able to see what's going to go wrong until you try it.
Again, we're coming back to that perfect isn't actually possible. Done is better than perfect. And when I just said about falling flat on the floor and getting back up again, do you know what? Sometimes the getting back up again is the Brad Burton story of delivering Domino's pizzas for a while. Sometimes the getting back up again is building a new business. Sometimes the getting up back up again is just realizing that actually you're a decent person that deserves to be here. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if it's right for you at the moment and you're not hurting anyone else, I couldn't give a toss.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, Jesse, do you know what? And me and you took the mick out of this in the last week. Okay. Sometimes the right place is making a table out of a pallet.
Yes.
It's true, isn't it? I now think burn them. But do you know what I mean? At that point in time, that was where I needed to be. And I still find it quite funny that the photo of me making a table out of a pallet is what made you go, I think Paul's ready. But that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But just because you saw that I was doing something to make things a bit nicer at home, and then we started talking about writing a book. Nah, it's weird, mate. It's just strange. The nugget, and I'm going to word this probably incorrectly, the nugget from Ben Ben, I was thinking Guyburn. Then I've just changed it. I've just gone for his last part of his last name instead. the nugget from Henry was just awesome. It's when you're old and grey, which one will you regret more? Will you regret never trying, or will you regret trying? And you've got to make that choice.
Yeah. Okay?
I see, I'm in a weird position in my world right now where I see zero downside to trying things. And actually, Jesse, do you know what? That was one of the worst things for me about doing a crowdfunder, was I honestly thought that it could fail and I'd end up with egg on my face and looking stupid. But my word, that's not that much of a downside, really, is it?
Not really. Who cares? Because you just got at the end of it, you go, oh, well, I gave it a go. It didn't work.
It didn't work. Move on. What else can we do? I don't know. I liked being proved wrong on that one. I think it cost me a couple of takeaways, but that's all right. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was it something like Greg's Pasties and Muffins I ended up buying?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Good times.
Yeah, good times. There was a lot of those in our life at that time. Could explain how the weight went back on. But yeah, all of you sitting out there, you know the deal. We can help you with anything, give us a shout.
Are you okay?
Am I okay?
Yeah.
No. But yes. I'm... This show, right, this interview hit me quite hard.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to feel like a failure, even though I'm arguing the word should be changed and we should see the word differently.
Yeah.
I worry about other people who think they are. I probably worry about other people more than I worry about me. And then, this one won't surprise you too much, Jesse. I may ignore things, you know, health-wise, every so often.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I get proved wrong on that too. But, you know, we're not going to go into detail on that because that didn't go public anywhere, right?
No.
Good. Mate, it's all good. It is all good. And I've got some awesome people around me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And how about you? Are you all right?
Yeah, kind of. No. I think that's been a running theme for the last 9 months. So I'm going to press a button now and we're going to play the Nuggeteer jingle.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this before we go. There isn't an official Nuggeteer this week, but I'm going to just press a button and we're going to enjoy the jingle anyway.
Go.
It's time for the Nuggeteer of the week.
So this is kind
even
of
the little dance makes me happy, mate.
Everything makes me happy about that. So thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
just this week's Nuggeteer is just for everyone in the world who gives a bit of their time to have someone else's back, because long story short, that has been quite important to a few people, especially both Nuggeteers in the last couple of weeks. So people around who have support, you know, just give a bit of time to just check up on you, make sure you're okay. Those sorts of people are if you've done that, if you've just gone, dude, you okay? Or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Then well done, because that means you have no idea how much that means to other people. That's what I'm saying. And if you haven't done that, go and find someone who you're not sure if they're okay or not and go and check up on them.
I would like to say I agree with this, Jesse. But sometimes it means you pull an all-nighter.
On two occasions. But it may mean you lose some sleep, but it'll be worth it, trust me.
You're right. Right. So our nugget of the week is, I don't know. Actually, we've got a couple this week. So our nugget of the week there is sometimes it's worth pulling an all-nighter for the right person.
Yes.
Okay. Another nugget that Jesse kind of came up with on a social media, which he didn't realize he came up with until I pointed it out, is sometimes don't drop the expensive camera.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That was so funny. And it's still your go-to lens. I love that.
Yeah. for those of you who aren't sure, basically, when there is really, really bad light, I have a lens that I go to because it's good in low light. And it's by far the cheapest lens I've got. And I once dropped it. It literally fell out of my pocket onto a concrete floor. And then me and the person I was having a conversation with then watched it bounce down a set of concrete steps. I picked it up, took it home, and I was like, oh, there's something. It's, you know, it looks like it's broken. And I just sort of twiddled the front and it came off. And I screwed it back on and it's worked fine ever since.
That's amazing. But mate, if you've done that with any of my phones in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Or any of my other lenses, one of them, I know from experience, it slightly went dunk on a door frame as I walked past because it, you know, hangs around my hips and it stopped working.
Yep. Yep. There you go. Don't drop expensive stuff. I think we're done, aren't we, mate?
Yeah.
Awesome. Ladies and gents, thank you so much for being here. You lot are absolutely amazing. Please do give us feedback. Please do share this show with anyone that you think needs to understand that the word failure is, you know, it's just a bit crap, isn't it? Stop you. Let's change the meaning of it for a while.
It's a learning experience.
Mutants Nuggets.